want to greet you this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus, the name we already heard about. And what a joy it is to be here again with you. Time has elapsed and flown. I believe this is the first time in this century that we're back at Elm Street. Not because we didn't love you, but time moves around and we go here and there and yonder, and but here we are. And I want to stay within my time frame too, otherwise the next century is a long ways off. So we want to honor that. Also, I had to think this morning when the brother mentioned that this is so Canadianized this morning. Again, I want to keep my time frame so that you don't pray that there will be a wall north from here yet too. We can still come back and forth. And what a privilege that is to think that we can live in a huge country and use it likewise, and we can travel back and forth so freely. That is a tremendous blessing. Now, many countries do not experience that. Most countries don't experience that in the world, and yet we do. Again, we want to welcome you as we look into the Word of God this morning. There are a few things that we want to look at. Let's turn to Revelation 19. The title of my message is, She Hath Made Herself Ready. And this morning we want to look at who the Lamb is, who the wife is, why does the bride need to be ready, and what makes us worthy to escape, and what do we need to be ready, and if we are ready, we need to stay ready and be ready for the best is still to come. She hath made herself ready. Revelation 19, verses 1 to 10. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of her servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I have heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the white linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that hath the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. These verses here this morning take you to a heavenly scene. After the chapter of 18, it talks about the fall of Babylon. Let's go back to Revelation 18 just to get a little glimpse of the... we see the great rejoicing of those that are in glory to think that judgment has finally come. You know, in our day, we hear of much persecution, which already was mentioned this morning, much persecution against the children of God. And we say, when, Lord, is that going to become? It is not our duty to pray for vengeance against those people, but vengeance is truly going to come someday against all the ungodly upon the earth. Yes, it will. Look at here what it says in Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5. These are the words, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. God remembereth the iniquities. God remembers those leaders that are doing all these things in the world today and in the past too. Yes, he does. And God warns those still on the earth to flee and not to be partakers of her sin. We jump over to verses 20 and 24 of the same chapter. It says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." You know, look at here, the time has come when God is going to take will now finally mete out judgment unto all those that have been ungodly. And it says here, verse 21, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorcerers were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." The crunch was on here, we see this morning. The commerce was grinding to a halt. The music was no more. The light has gone out, it says. The marriages have stopped. Yesterday we had the privilege of being at a marriage. And what a beautiful time it is when you see two godly people come together in holy matrimony. You know, what a blessed time it is to go to a marriage like that. But here it says, these things have all stopped now, have they not? The light had gone out. And in this city were great men, and they deceived the world. Yes. And we could go and talk about that city. That's a separate message in itself of who the city is and of who the religion is and so forth. I will not get into that this morning. But the word of God says this morning, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." He will take that in control in his perfect day. Yes, he will. Turn back to Revelation 19:1. One, it says, "After these things have taken place against this Babylonish, this harlot, this whoredom that was taking place here," he says, after these things, you know, some people say everything is going to happen at once in the end times. No, it follows in its perfect order as God has planned it to be. And he said, "After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven." What a scene that is. Indeed, it is. "After these things, a great chorus sounds forth. The righteous judgments of God have fallen, and what a display of worship that brings into the heavenly atmosphere. It is not anymore of who you are or who you know, but it is Jesus Christ himself calling about the judgment that is falling upon this world at that time. And what a scene it is in Revelations 4:2. Just go quickly back there. I realize we have a full plate this morning. And Revelations 4:2, it says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around the throne in sight like unto an emerald." She's reading there. It says, on the throne. It talks about in verse 4, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." And verse 5, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps and of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind." What tremendous verses here. It talks about in verse 4 of what is going, what is happening around the throne. And verse 5, it talks of what happens before the throne. And verse 5, it also talks what happens out of the throne. And in verse 6, it talks of what happens in the midst of the throne. And we go to chapter 5, We won't go to chapter 5. But you can study Revelations, and it goes from chapter 5 to 19. It shows from heaven what is poured out on this earth, and it is not a pretty scene. It is an awful scene. Indeed, it is. Revelations again, back to Revelations 19, 4 to 6 here. It says here, the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Just to imagine such a scene this morning drives me to my knees in awesome wonder. To think that as God was judging iniquity upon this earth, the scene that unfolds in heaven, as the saints that are up there in glory at that time shout forth with Alleluia, glory and honor to the King. What a tremendous scene. The marriage of the Lamb has come. And we go down to verse 6. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Ready. His wife. Or, as it is mostly referred to in the Bible, is his bride. His bride. Has made herself ready. Okay, ready for what, we would say? Or who is this Lamb that this bride has made herself ready? John the Baptist, already when he saw Jesus coming to him, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Tremendous words. Have you experienced that this morning? Do you know the Lamb, the bridegroom? Same thing. In Revelations 5, just a few verses there. Revelations 5, 6 to 13. And I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and out of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood, you get it? A lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of them of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. What an awesome scene, dear people, this morning. This hasn't happened yet. What an awesome scene. And we could go on to Revelations 22, 1 to 3, 1 Peter 1, 18 to 25. This morning, this Lamb is a Redeemer. He is a Savior. We may know about Calvary this morning, but have we made it personal in our lives? Has your faith, is it real? To you this morning, that Jesus Christ went to Calvary to set us free, to give us a lively hope, and that lively hope is also in everyday life, to keep pressing on until we hear that glorious call. Who is she? Who is this wife that it talks about here in Revelations 19? Again, I say, mostly it's called the bride, because finally, very few people in marriage, a few years go by, they say, well, this is my bride. They say, this is my wife. Something happened here. No, she's been called her wife. been called the wife here. But leading up to this, it's called the bride. She's referred to as the bride of Christ. And this is why the Lamb, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, came to search on this world for a bride, to show to God his great love by going to Calvary so that man, by faith, can believe in the Savior. That's tremendous love this morning. He loved you. I don't care where you are. I don't care what depths of sin you're in. He came to this world because he loved every person that was ever born, to the extent that he said, I'm going to die for that person because I love you and I want you to come back with me to glory someday. That's love. That's love. And then you can be my wife. Yes, that's what Jesus Christ came to do. Wonderful. Wonderful. Tremendous. Number three, why does the bride need to make herself ready? This is a special event going to happen. We can see it all the times, yesterday at the wedding. The bride came and she looked like she was ready for the wedding day. She had on a clean white dress. In fact, I was blessed by their testimony. They said they never even held hands in their courtship because they wanted this courtship to be pure. Young men, young sisters, are you listening? A courtship that is pure. And that is what's referring to the bride that has made herself ready. None of us were pure this morning. The scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that means you have no right to come into a relationship with the Holy God. No right. This morning, dear people, we were all destined for hell by what we did wrong, by the law that we goofed, the things that we all did wrong. All of us that have come to years of accountability have missed the mark. Missed the mark. And that's the calling we need to take heed of. To make ourselves ready. Ready. No, I can't. My wife can't make her dress good enough for that wedding. We men, we can't be dressed right enough or do the enough right things to get ready for to be the bride of Christ. No, we can't. God is a holy God this morning, and the bride that Jesus Christ wanted was so messed up with every sin that you could name. Every sin. Yeah. And you can put all your own personal sins in there with that. And you know, we were all doomed to doom and gloom and eternity in hell. But praise God this morning. There's provisions that were made. Christ loved us in our messed up condition, and he was willing to come to this earth and show to his Father that this, he means business. I love you. And he was willing to go to Calvary and take all our messed up sins there to Calvary. If that isn't love, what is? But sad to say, many people may be sitting in churches this morning and they still have an unregenerated heart without Christ. Not ready. Not ready. You can do all the right things and not be ready. But praise the Lord, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, for he hath made him, our bridegroom, to be sin for who? For us, who knew no sin. The bridegroom, he didn't know sin. But he was taking our messed up life on up to Calvary, and that blood that was shed for us was sufficient for our Heavenly Father to look down
You really love those people, don't you? That's our Savior this morning. The wife has made herself ready. Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, which consists of individuals on the church roll, those who qualify for the ministry, those who donate all their time and resources. Is that who the bridegroom came for? These may be all things that can be done without being ready for the bridegroom. Do we get it? It takes more than that. Yes, it does. But for the born again, the washed in the blood of Jesus Christ personally becomes a way of life this morning, your people. Our forefathers, all the way back to Peter's writing, knew time would not continue always the same. And this day of grace, we're only in the betrothal stages this morning. Through the ages, man was never taught to look for signs, but was taught to look for the imminent return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's right. The scripture always pointed, get ready, be ready. Jesus Christ could come today. The Thessalonians already of old, they had that thought within themselves. It looked like they had missed it, but they didn't. They just didn't know the scripture right. In other words, nothing has to be fulfilled for Jesus Christ to come again. This morning, a lot can happen in 7 years of tribulation. And a lot will happen in 7 years of tribulation. In fact, I believe there will be more calamities and everything else on this world in those 7 years than all the calamities combined up till then. It'll be awful. It'll be horrendous. You read the book of Revelation. You go back to Daniel and all of those things. It'll be horrendous, the things that are going to take place in that time. Friends, I won't want to leave you hanging. I want to leave you with a note of hope for all of us this morning. But let's turn to Luke chapter 21. We'll be coming back here later on. Luke chapter 21. Also talking about the signs that about the times we're in. Luke 21, verses 34 to 36. Reading at verse 34. And he's talking to those people that were in his surroundings, and he's talking to us this morning. And he said the very words of Jesus, and take heed to yourselves, make it personal, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in that day time he was preaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives, and so forth. This morning, I don't know what all happened in your congregation since we were here last. I don't know. People have died. People have gone on to their reward. Yes. People likely have left and gone out into the world. People that have had the privilege to hear the gospel message preached by the brethren here over and over again. And they've left. And they're not with the bride that is ready to be called. That's sad. That's sad. Every congregation experiences that. But would to God, dear people this morning, young people, old people, wherever you are, I may not be back here, I don't know. But continue to press on. The scripture is very clear here. It says, take heed, take heed. You're living in very dangerous times as never before, I believe, in this time, in this world, though we have at ease, and that is one of the problems. It says here, the first thing is, the step is to be ready. And that means you have to be saved. And from then on, in most denominations, that's the only thing that matters. So what took place last year or 10 years ago, whatever. Just be saved. Just be saved. Jesus' own words were, he said, be holy, for I am holy. And that means a constant day by day walk with the Lord. Yes, we fail at times. We have to get on our knees and pray and seek forgiveness. But God wants a people that is ready from day to day. We have to start right. That's true. We have to be born again. But in order to be born, if we're born again, we'll also continue walking. And the scripture is clear. Take heed for yourselves, lest at any time your hearts, these things can come in, and you're overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life and the things go on here. Take heed, examine yourselves. Where is your fervency in serving God this morning? Is there a deep desire within to love and to obey the word of God? The things in the Bible we're called to do either is done in love for what Jesus Christ has done for us, or we're doing it because we're under the law. And the law does not save this morning. No, it doesn't. And friends, Jesus came because of love. He loved us in our messed up condition. We have all the reason to also try to show we love him too. And we want to. It's not a law anymore. Some people say, oh, the church life is so hard, you know. We have some rules in church to keep us on the middle of the road, you know. Well, praise God for that. I'm glad for that. In Jude, verses 20, I won't bother turning there, but in Jude 20 to 23, it says, some of those garments there were spotted. There were signs in some people that they had not a right relationship with God, and we're not ready for his coming again. And then it says there, you who are faithful, try to grab these people that are heading towards eternity lost. Grab them out of the fire. Grab them out of their messed up life. But don't get yourselves entangled with them too, that you go down to the same pit. You know, witnessing to the lost. We heard that this morning. But make sure your vibrant faith is alive, that they don't drag you down the same path. Many are falling that way in strange doctrines that are coming in among us. Have nothing to do, or when you're sharing your faith, make sure your own soul is doing good work. It says here, take heed, overcharge, weigh down. Too busy to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And this could be one of our greatest threats in our plain circles. You know, let's make America great again. You know, let's make Canada great again. You know, that thing, we're living in good times. Things are really rolling along. Beware, beware. Have you time for God? We can even be gone every night of the week doing good things, you know. Have you time to be alone with God? Have you time to hear from him? You know, overeating is just as bad as drinking. Indulging in many appetites excessively. No control, no temperance, no moderation in whatever the flesh craves. Man desires in our day. And so we allow in our country on October the 17th of this fall, we allow marijuana to be free for all or whatever the methods are of getting it. I don't know. But you know, all of those influences are going to affect the church. Because if the government allows it, the church usually has a problem right afterward. And strangely enough, we're not far apart many times. Lord, help us this morning. Ours is going to be the second country in the world that would allow it. We're a very liberal, very secular country. So we see these things coming. And as we allow those things, we need to have stronger drugs to drown out those overdoses and those problems. This morning, let's call it sin. And a person that has not made herself ready for Jesus Christ. The cares of life. It talks here too. Many people don't want children because of the cares that it brings with it. The cost that is involved. And the crucifixion that is needed for moms and dads to crucify this old self again and again. I have to think of not so long ago, we had friends invited, and they were all looking forward to coming. Yes, coming to our place even. They were looking forward to it. And one family came to the door, and they said, our child is vomiting and doesn't look hopeful. We might as well head on home. Well, we decided, grin and bear it. We come on in. No, they finally said they better head on home. You know, the disappointments of a mom. Dad, the time like that, you know, you're looking forward. Those are the times we have to crucify this old self again. New plans for that day. That's part of being a father and a mother. And that's the very thing the world doesn't want anymore. You know, we want to, when our plans are made, nothing is supposed to come between me and my plans. And our God allows these things to come sometimes to us, to refine us, to keep us looking up of who He is. Where your treasure is, that is where the heart is. The Bible is clear on that. Luke wrote, therefore, as wickedness increases and selfishness abounds, these are all signs of the tribulation, which is that we're coming closer to. He says, watch, pray, always, always, that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that come upon this world. What makes us worthy to escape this morning? It is what makes it real when that heavenly chorus sounds, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, friends. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, you do. The bride has made herself ready to escape the horrors that shall befall this world. You see the things taking place throughout the world this morning, and it is shocking. It is shocking. We the earthquakes, the volcanoes, the fires, and the anarchy that I see in your country. How can people openly and violently say that Trump is just like Hitler? People are doing that. And I'm going to preach politics this morning, no. But I'm saying that if that is our language, then we're also not ready for Jesus coming again. We're called to pray for the leaders. Yes, we are. And appreciate the good that we still have, the freedom that we still have. Yes, we do. But we see that anarchy arising. And do you get it? If it's in society, it comes in the doors, the church. I don't need you leaders. I have my own opinion of how this thing should be run here. Mm-hmm. Anarchy within the church. Watch that very close. Society, the church, in the workplace. I don't like my boss. I don't have to do what he tells me. And then once in a while you hear of Trump and Kim Jong-un having a meeting here a while back. Very interesting, I thought. Hasn't happened before. And so they sit down and they have a meeting, and it looks hopeful. Now, I'm no prophet this morning. But I already said years ago, something has to happen with North Korea and many other countries yet that are out there. Either it'll be overrun by war, or something is going to happen, because the signs of the times are leading up to the tribulation. And in the tribulation, they'll have one world government. They'll have one world religion. They'll have one world economic system. And that means as the closer we're getting to the end times, it means countries have to give up a little of their own self to fit in the program of the day. Watch it. Watch it. One world system. It's happening. It's happening. Even some of the trade wars, you know, keep your eyes open. I don't know what's all going to happen. Don't come to me afterward and say, well, what's going to happen if we trade this and lose that? No, I don't know. I don't know. But watch what is happening. Keep studying the Word and keep looking up. It's interesting to think that in that meeting, they're more concerned about bringing dead soldiers back and burying them in their own country than about the persecuted Christians that are alive. The world is not interested so much in about Christianity, of those that really live for the Word of God, as they are about a lot of other things. The Scripture says this morning, watch and pray. We're living in very subtle times, much deception, much fake news in the church. For the bride to be ready, we have to stay ready. A bride doesn't just get ready so she doesn't have to be at home here. There are a lot of marriages that are happening because I want to get out of my home. Not a good home life. So I'm just going to marry. And I'm going to tell this to you young people here, because that isn't the case. But if there's rebellion in the home against your parents, then woe to the one you're going to marry. There'll be rebellion there too. That's a proven fact. If people just marry to get away from the situation at home, because the home life wasn't good. And that's what many are doing. And I'm afraid in some of our plain circles, some are doing that. And you know, this person finds out that hell on earth continues. But if she loves the one, Jesus Christ, who provided for her sins to be forgiven, and she denies her own selfish nature to have that godly nature of the Holy Spirit come within, that makes all the difference this morning, dear people. A bride hasn't made herself truly ready just so she can see how her heels click down the streets of gold. No. A bride hasn't made herself ready just to think that, is my mansion going to be fully furnished when I get there? No. Will I be noticed by my relatives, by the other saints that are in glory? No, friends. That kind of a spirit shows we are not ready. Many times at funerals, we're making more of heaven than we know about it. Get you thinking on that one. The Scripture is clear this morning. We cannot add on or take away. Otherwise, we're not ready. We likely will know each other in heaven, but not as male or female. The Scripture says that in Jesus' own words. He says, we will be like the angels. And how are the angels all going to be like? I don't know all those things. It'll be good. I know that. Heaven is not so much about others this morning, but have we made ourselves ready because of the Lamb? The Lamb shall be the focus when we get there, dear people. It will. The Lamb, the crucified one who had made it possible that we can come from this old world of sin into the glorious realm of eternity to be forever with him. Hallelujah, friends, this morning. And as that chorus echoes across all heaven throughout eternity, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. She hath made herself ready, and to her was granted and given the honor in fine linen, clean and white, which portrays the righteousness of sin. That is what is expected of a saint. The garments will portray that our sins can be made whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Praise God for that. And in order to come with Christ. In Revelations 19:14, there's a verse there. Revelations 19:14. It says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Who are those people going to be? It will be the bride who has made herself ready. They'll be white, they'll be clean, spotless, spotless. And in order to come with him, we first have to go to him. Let's believe what the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4. It talks about to be called up, to be forever with the Lord. Confirmed again in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in the twinkling of an eye. It's quick for those that are ready to meet him. The bride, the wife who has finally made herself ready to be in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. And we have to be clear this morning that the rapture and the second coming are two very distinct, different happenings. I won't take time to go to all the verses this morning. My time is already up. Number one, the rapture, the calling up. Some people don't like the name rapture because they can't find it in the Bible. Well, the Trinity isn't mentioned in the Bible either, and yet we believe it. So bear with me. Number one, the rapture entails the removal of all believers, while the second advent, the appearing of the Son of God. Number two, the rapture sees the saints caught up in the air. The second advent, he returns to earth. Number three, in the rapture, Christ comes to claim a bride. In the second advent, returns with a bride. Number four, the rapture results in removal of the church and the start of the great tribulation. In the second coming, the start of the millennial kingdom. Number five, the rapture is imminent. Always has been. And the second coming is preceded by many, many, many signs. Number six, the rapture brings a message of comfort. That is, if you have made yourself ready this morning. A tremendous message of comfort for those that die before his coming. And if then the rapture takes place, a comfort you realize the church has not been. The bride has not been forgotten this morning. No, never will be. It brings a message of comfort. And the second coming is accompanied by a message of judgment. Number seven, the rapture is related to the program for the church. And the second coming is related to the program for Israel and the world. Number eight, the rapture is called a mystery, while the second coming is predicted in both the Old and the New Testament. Number nine, at the rapture, it leaves creation unchanged and only getting worse. Second coming, there will be a change in creation. Praise God for that. Number 10, the rapture, when the rapture comes, Israel's covenants are unfulfilled. The second coming, all her covenants are fulfilled. A big difference. Number 11, the rapture is set to take place before the day of wrath. The second coming follows the 7 years of tribulation and will show who is victor. And again, it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. He will be victor indeed. Number 12, the rapture is for believers only. The second coming affects all men on the earth. Number 13, the rapture, the expectation of the church is the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. And for the second coming, the expectation of Israel at the second coming is the kingdom is at hand. Matthew 24:14. Number 14, at the rapture for the church, the expectation is to be taken into the presence of the Lord if you have made yourself ready. That's a tremendous expectation this morning, dear people. At the second coming, Israel's expectation is to be taken into the kingdom. Into the kingdom. Now the question I want to put to all of us this morning. You have to answer for yourself. Have you made yourself ready? Are you ready this morning? If that sound would call, the trumpet would sound from heaven in the twinkling of an eye. For every child of God this morning, that should bring a smile to her face to realize this old world is getting worse. But we have a hope. We have a hope. A relationship with the living God. And we're looking forward to that. To be forever with the Lord. What are you doing about it?